Again, I found myself in the company of my own thoughts, and the spirit of the depth did not wish to speak. Only the spirit of the times. And the spirit of the times cried out in ecstasy, "At last! At last we are free from Plato's cave! Let us sing with joy in our hearts! Let us dance with our demons! If this be madness, then let us celebrate with abandon while our hounds are resting by the fire." You know, they say, the spirit of the times is never without words. And so it was. I found myself reaching down inside of myself, where those voices called out one against the other. And this time, I found myself standing on a borderland between human habitation and a dark forest. I looked down and I saw, I had Izdubar's double-bladed axe at my feet, except, it was in a size that I could use. I could see the trees had lost their bloom of summer. They were showing the first colors of autumn. I knew that I had come to this forest with my double-bladed axe to cut a supply of wood for the coming winter. At least that's what I thought my purpose was, how I understood the reason for being in this forest. Well, the signs of autumn were everywhere, and I made my way deep into the forest until on that day I could feel it was autumn, but there was a feel of summer. It was humid and warm. In that forest, I found a dead tree, and I immediately set to work to cut it down and make as much firewood as I could carry. In a short time, I had done that work. I was just about to turn back the way I had come when I heard a rumble of thunder. I looked up to the sky from the small clearing I had created with Izdubar's axe. There, in the clouds overhead, I saw a flash of lightning and a quick response of thunder. Recognizing the danger of lightning so close in the woods, I decided I must find a place to shelter myself during this storm. I looked to the north and the south and the west. Not even a charcoal burner's hut was in sight. Finally, I looked to the east, and there I spied the entrance to a dark cave. I quickly loaded the wood on my back and retreated inside the cave to wait the storm passing. The storm was powerful and long. It was almost evening when it had run its course. But when it was over, I came out of the cave, and I was just about to leave the woods when I heard another sound. Oh, and it was a sound of threatening voices, loud laughing and singing and awful rumbling. I felt a dread inside of me, and I knew that this woods where I found myself standing, was a place of demons and goblins and witches. And so, in fright, I retreated back to the dark cave, there to hide from the villains of the night. I positioned myself in the dark cave where I could see just the opening. Sure enough, up the path, there came the most horrifying band of demons. Some of them giant in size, others smaller than humans. Some had overgrown ears, one had three eyes, another two left feet. All had hairy, long hands, fingers, great long fingernails. It seemed as if they had never been cut. And all of them had some disfigurement, something that made me, a human, feel uncomfortable. To my horror, this band of demons did not pass by my cave entrance. Instead, they came directly towards it. I had only a moment to recognize their purpose. I left my wood there by the entrance and retreated into a deeper access or recess in the cave. There I hid myself behind a ledge of rock. The demons, without hesitation, came right to the cave. The leader of the demons stepped inside and saw my dry firewood. "Aha!" he said in a deep and sonorous voice. "The gods have provided for our warm blanket for the night." Soon a fire was built at the entrance to the cave. I could smell meat cooking. Several jugs of wine were brought out and passed among the demons. And then a fiddler stood up and started to play. Several of the demons, feeling the happy effects of the wine, they got up and started to dance around the fire. Now, while all this merrymaking was going on, I was stricken with fear. I hid my face in my hands, and I could not look at these intruders. I surmised all of my powers of smell and hearing. I knew what was going on, but I could not look at the truth. I am sure you will agree with me that sometimes it is difficult to acknowledge the demons in our lives. We all hide from our worst fears. But on that night, in that dark cave, with a band of demons within a few feet of me, I gathered my courage together, and I slowly spread my fingers apart, and I looked upon the demons in my life. Fearsome shadows danced on the ceiling of the cave as those demons awkwardly moved around the fire in their dance. The one with two left feet, he stumbled as he tried to keep time to the music. Another demon with three eyes, he could not see very well. At least they were not coordinated, and so he nearly fell into the fire. Suddenly, the leader of the demons, he cried out, You are all awful. Is there no one here who can dance properly?" Now, all of those demons stopped their merrymaking, and they looked at their leader. I was wholly in agreement with the leader. I said to myself, I could teach them. I could teach them a thing or two about dancing, but if he does not like my dancing, I'm a human. He will surely kill me. When no demon responded to the challenge, the music started again, and again the clumsy dancing followed as before. It lasted only a few minutes, and then the leader called out again, "You are awful dancers! Is there no one here who can dance properly?" Again, I was in total agreement that these demons could not dance. After all, they had all of these problems, these blemishes that I didn't have. I was a great dancer. I could teach them a lot about dancing, but if he does not like my dancing, he might kill me. When no demon answered the challenge this second time, the music started up again, but it lasted only a few moments before the leader stood up a third time and he cried out, "Awful, awful dancing!" Is there no one who can dance properly? This time, I threw caution to the wind. I stepped out from my hiding place and I started to dance towards the fire. I knew that my life depended on dancing well, and so I put my whole heart and soul into every step. I must tell you, it was the greatest experience of my life. At first, the demons were all scandalized at the brazen human in their midst. Nevertheless, they recognized my skill, and they began to imitate my dance steps. Soon, they were all dancing with me, even including the leader of the demons. How long did I dance with my demons? I cannot say. But sometime during that night, I finally was completely exhausted and I dropped to the floor of the cave. The demons, they experienced the grand dancing skills that I have and all of my effort. And they came to my side and one brought me a drink, a cup of wine. The leader of the demons came to me. And he cried out and said, "Indeed, you do know how to dance properly like a demon. You must return tomorrow. Teach us more of your dancing." Looking at that circle of motley faces, I cried out and I said, "I would love to come back as many times as I can." For a moment there was silence. Then one of the demons cried out and he said, "You cannot trust a human. You must make him guarantee that he will return tomorrow." The leader did not. He did not motion or say anything. He frowned. And then all of a sudden, a smile lighted his face as he thought of a proper guarantee. He looked down by the side of the fire. And there his eyes spied the axe of Izdubar. He picked it up, and immediately he sensed his connection to it. So it was. The axe of Izdubar became the bond that tied me to my demons and ensured that I would never forget the dark woods where I went to dance with my demons. So it was. There came an end to the fourth lesson in a primer for the education of a mind in search of a soul, and so completed the full circle around the primordial tower that some call God.